Welcome. Thank you all so much for joining us for today's virtual event, Navigating GSR and Euro NCAP, What Vehicle Manufacturers Should Know. My name is Ashley McManus, and I am the Senior Director of Global Marketing here at SmartEye, and I will be moderating today's discussion. So we're really excited to have you all here today to discuss the new safety regulations and how manufacturers can adapt to meet these evolving standards. We're thrilled today to have two esteemed panelists with us, each bringing some valuable insights to this discussion. And with that being said, I will now ask each panelist to briefly introduce themselves and share a little background information. So Elsa and Rickard, would you please kick us off with a brief intro? Maybe we start with you, Elsa.
Yeah. Hi everyone, I'm Elsa Magner. I have worked at SmartEye for over 5 years now. I'm currently working in the AIS team as a project manager. And we are responsible for developing and bringing to market the SmartEye standalone hardware and software DMS. And my focus lately have been to navigate legislative requirements. And I've had a particular interest in bridging the gap between the regulatory mandates, like General Safety Regulation, GSR, and the practical implementation and usage of safety systems in road vehicles. So, yeah. Hi, everyone.
And Rickard?
I'm Rickard Fredriksson, working for the Swedish Transport Administration, or Trafikverket in Swedish. As senior advisor on vehicle safety, where I also represent Sweden in Euro NCAP on the board and on several working groups, and among them the occupant status monitoring group, which is relevant here. So we try to push Vision Zero, which comes from Sweden, to push vehicle safety further.
Excellent. Awesome. So it's wonderful to have you both here today. So let's get into it. First, Elsa, could you briefly explain the GSR, the DDAW, and the ADDW, as well as the timeline for implementation? What do all these letters mean?
So the EU General Safety Regulation requires the implementation of several advanced safety features in vehicles. Everything to increase road safety. So two key systems within these regulations are driver drowsiness and attention warning, DDAW, and advanced driver distraction warning, the ADDW. And the DDAW system monitor the driver's level of alertness, so focusing on detecting signs of fatigue and the driver being drowsy. So it uses sensors to track either facial features, driving patterns, or steering behavior. And if drowsiness is detected, then the system will issue a warning. And DDAW is current for all new vehicles sold in the EU from July this year, 2024. The ADDW system identifies when a driver is distracted, and that is done by tracking the driver's eye movements, head position, looking at the in-vehicle systems, for example. So, and if distraction is detected, a warning will be triggered. And ADDW is current for all new vehicle types from July 2024, and for all new vehicles sold in the EU from July 2026.
So, Rickard, so those of us who aren't familiar with Euro NCAP, which I think we all are, what is it, and why do their ratings matter to vehicle manufacturers?
Yeah, well, the big difference is that Euro NCAP is a voluntary program. But also setting standards than higher than the regulations. So try to push the vehicle manufacturers to a higher standard. And then as a bonus, they get a high star rating that they can use to show that they have a higher safety level. And this has been quite successful. So around 70% of vehicles sold in Europe has a 5-star rating.
So I do want to dive deeper into what you mentioned as the key differences between GSR and Euro NCAP. So maybe Elsa to start and Rickard, please chime in if you have anything to add. So, Nilsa, what are the main distinctions in the expectations for DMS and other in-cabin monitoring systems under the GSR compared to Euro NCAP's rating protocols?
I mean, Rika mentioned it. So the EU GSR, that's a mandatory law, and it's requiring all new vehicles sold in the EU to include these safety features. Mm-hmm. But then, as Rickham said, the Euro NCAP, that's a voluntary, independent vehicle safety rating system, and it assesses like crashworthiness and active safety technologies and awarding with these star ratings based on the performance. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I agree to what Rika said. So GSR sets the legal kind of minimum safety standards, while Euro NCAP encourages, you know, more, you know, to exceed the standards and adopt more innovative technologies.
Yeah, exactly. So Euro NCAP can then be a faster and more agile process and moving faster with new requirements in a way.
Perfect. Okay, so moving on to DDAW system integration. Elsa, another question for you. What would you say, you know, the biggest challenges manufacturers usually face when integrating driver drowsiness, attention, warning, or those DDAW systems into new vehicle models to meet GSR requirements?
From my perspective, it has absolutely been kind of bridging the gap between the legal requirements and the actual implementation. So the requirements have honestly sometimes been a bit hard to interpret, and there seems to be different interpretations from different readers. So a lot of time has gone into discussions, both internally, but also with other stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And for the Smart ID DAW solution is a bit more complex than others because it's camera-based, with many advantages coming with that. But that's another story. But it is a complicated thing to understand how people behave when they are tired. So, I mean, for example, being tired, it's such a complex behavior that kind of narrowing it down to number of yawning per minute or how often the driver blinks, that would kind of be to underestimate the required complexity of such a feature. So with that comes, I mean, time-consuming validation, testing in relation to certification, and a lot of discussions with both customers and technical institutes to kind of be on the same level. A big thing is, of course, also the design of an effective HMI, the human-machine interface.
Yeah,
for the alerts, because it's a very hot topic nowadays. I mean, we don't want to have systems beeping or alerting for no reason.
Right.
So yeah.
Can you also tell us about the homologation process that, you know, all vehicle manufacturers need to go through to get certified on the European market? I'm curious if there are any challenges they might face during this process.
Yeah. So yeah, homologation is the buzzword right now. But just to homologation, that is the process where an official authority grants an approval of requirements fulfillment. So the DDAW homologation process involves ensuring that the DDAW system meets the standards set by the regulation. Mm-hmm. So, and by this, manufacturers must test and they need to validate the system's ability to detect driver fatigue or drowsiness, and they need to provide correct warnings under various driving conditions. So when doing this, the vehicle manufacturer will then provide a test institute with a procedure that will reflect a drowsy driving event. And then the technical service will perform the test based on the proposed protocol. Mm-hmm. And together with this, there's also a massive documentation package that needs to be included, kind of explaining both the drowsiness feature, the system functionality, HMI, everything. So everything needs to be explained in detail. And here, I mean, we in the Smart Eye team have been very active in helping our customers out with this process. So, and then the performance data is submitted to the regulatory authorities for approval. And then when the DDSW system passes the required tests and meets all the compliance standards, the vehicle model will receive a homologation, kind of allowing it to be sold in the EU. And I mean, if I was to point out some challenges with this, I would say, I mean, the main challenge has been putting together all of the necessary documentation, having everyone on board in what is presented in this quite complex documentation. So, yeah, it's a heavy process.
Sounds like it. Okay. So shifting gears to Rickard, I have some questions for you in regard to Euro NCAP truck safe rating. So I believe, first off, I think you had mentioned you were working on an updated assessment protocol for cars by the end of this year. Are you able to talk about what parts it would include? So, for example, how, you know, what is new compared to what was in place before?
Yeah, I can't share the exact details at this point since it's not fully finalized. But we are looking at making the test method, the requirements more clear and precise than in the first generation, which we kept quite open, partly because it was a learning process for us how to. But now we have tested vehicles for about a year and a half, and we can make more precise requirements. Then we will also expand the impairment part. So from drowsiness and sudden sickness that we had in, we will also try to include alcohol detection as part of that, the impairment. We're also looking into seatbelt misuse. If you can use the sensor to, or the cam, if it is a camera, to detect that you have the seatbelt in the correct way on. So a more advanced seatbelt reminder. We're also looking into occupant classification. If you can detect the size and the position of the occupant, this can be used for modifying the restraints to be more optimized for you as a driver or as an occupant. So these are some new areas that we are looking into for the 2026 update.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. And I know that Euro NCAP is currently expanding their testing protocols to trucks as well as parts. Yeah. What specific safety concerns are Euro NCAP looking to address through the new truck safe ratings? And how do you see these ratings contributing to improved road safety?
Yeah, so as we speak, we are running the first test series of heavy trucks. And the plan is to publish the first results in November this year. And in this first phase, we focus on the biggest long-haul trucks, as we call them. And in this first phase also, we focus on crash avoidance and the safe driving, the first part of the crash sequence. So it's like systems like AEB, automatic braking, and lane keep systems, but also the first generations of driver monitoring, so indirect monitoring is included. But where we have set the requirements a bit higher, that they should have a bit higher. To get the full points, you need a higher sensitivity and less false positives than the regulation. And also we give extra points for novel features that could be safe stop in lane or direct monitoring, for example, with a camera or some other sensor.
Mm-hmm. All right. So one last question for you in this section is, which specific safety technology features should manufacturers focus on integrating into their new vehicles in order to achieve this, you know, a higher Euro NCAP rating in the upcoming years, would you say?
As I talked about before, focus more on the impairment detection, where we also want to address alcohol, the seatbelt detection that I talked about, and classification So those areas, if you can add that on, then you will score more points.
Perfect.
In the updated protocol.
Okay.
And
go ahead, please.
Yeah, sorry.
No, continue, please.
No, and for trucks for 2026 or actually 2027, what you should look for there, I would say, if you look at what we do for passenger cars now, we want to phase that into the heavy trucks 3 years from now. So that's a good way to understand what we want to do there.
Okay. Is there anything in specific that we should look at for trucks in addition to cars, or kind of just very similar?
No, I think it's about the same. We will also go towards direct monitoring there for trucks and also seat belt detection, I think, is very important for truck drivers, since most truck drivers that actually die in a crash are unbelted. So that's another one.
Okay, so shifting back to ELSA. So preparing for ADDW in 2026 with advanced driver distraction warning. So those systems already mandatory for new type registered vehicles and required for all new vehicles by 2026. What steps should manufacturers take now to mitigate technical and logistical challenges early in the design and production stages, would you say?
I mean, there are some things I would like to emphasize that I kind of also bring a little bit from the DDAW implementation. So first of all, I would say, first of all, do the research, find a reliable camera-based DMS supplier and a reliable high-quality hardware supplier. I would say that's kind of key, but also understand the ADDW requirements. It's not easy. It's not straightforward. There are parts of the requirements, like the different viewing zones, for example. People who have read the requirements know what I'm talking about, and where the vehicle manufacturer needs to take a big responsibility. And so I would say engage in discussions to understand the concerns and also the requirement interpretations. And then, of course, also, I mean, prepare vehicle infrastructure for an additional system integration, start testing, start preparing. And also with that said, I would say start in time. Our experience until now is that this process takes time. Do the sourcing early, stay on track with what is being said and talked about in the industry. I mean, make sure to partner up with a supplier that's keeping on track and up to date in this matter, I would say. And I would also like to say that, again, keep in mind that the process, it takes time, and with time also comes money. So it costs for all involved parties, and not least the end customer. So this is adding complexity to the vehicle development, but to be honest, in the end, this is the price for saving lives, because that's what we are doing with implementing these systems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the last question I had, and this is back to you, Rickard, is I like to end on the future. So the future of safety regulations. Rickard, how do you foresee the Euro NCAP standards really evolving in the coming years, and what can manufacturers do to stay ahead of those changes?
Yeah, when we talk about driver and occupant monitoring, we see, I talked about alcohol detection as an important area, and we see that we also need to expand that, because we also see a lot of drug use in driving, and that's increasing. So expanding driving under influence. We already look at sudden sickness or unresponsive driver. So it's quite simple today what we look at. Then in the future, we would probably go towards more biometric, if it's possible to actually detect that someone is sick or is about to get sick or get a heart attack. Another important area that I have not touched upon yet is to integrate with the other crash phases. So one clear difference between the regulation and Euro NCAP is that we don't only award that you warn the driver, that you actually take a next step of intervention if you don't listen to the warning that the car intervenes. And one way could be the crash avoidance systems, the ADAS systems, to be more sensitive if you're not attentive. And then we think that you will also get more acceptance of the driver monitoring, about the ADAS system, that you don't, the car doesn't brake or warn if you're an attentive driver, but if you're an inattentive driver, the car will react earlier. And also link it to crash protection, as I talked about airbags and seatbelts, but maybe even the post-crash phase. Say if you can detect how many occupants after a crash are in the car and who is the most, even looking farther away, who is the most injured, who should you focus on? That's really important information. Mm-hmm. And then also in the farther future, we talk about cognitive distraction, which we understand is really difficult, but an important area. Uh-huh. That you look at the road, but you don't really see what's happening. So those are some areas too. But then also finally, we are flexible. We want to increase safety. So any input, any ideas, new technology that we see that drives safety, we are open to include in the tests. So mm-hmm. please come to us if you have other ideas that you think can improve safety.
Awesome. Great discussion. Super fascinating. Now we're going to start the Q&A section. We have a few that have already come in, so I'll just get right into it. So the first, ADW distractions can have many shapes and forms. In your view, is eye tracking mandatory or rather helpful to achieve compliance? Maybe Elsa, you want to take this one?
Yeah. I mean, for ADDW, it's mandatory to have a camera-based system. So you need to be able to track your eyes to be able to understand where someone is looking. So, for example, you can only move your eyes and not your head and, you know, still be have your head facing the road but still not be looking at the road, so to speak. So, yes, for ADDW, it's required to have eye tracking. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but for DDAW, on the other hand, you could have other systems covering those requirements. I would say maybe a bit biased, but from my perspective, it's as I said before, drowsiness is a very complex thing to understand. So kind of narrowing down to either, you know, where you're positioned in the lane or what angle you have on your steering wheel, which could be okay to cover the DDAW requirements. I would say it's much more intricate and precise to have a camera-based system also for DDAW.
Next question, is seatbelt detection going to be mandatory for coaches and buses for all passenger seats? I'm not sure who this is for, but who wants to take
it? I'm guessing it's for me since I talked about seatbelt detection. We haven't even, I should have answered that earlier. We haven't even started to look into buses yet. We have it in our roadmap after heavy trucks. So in a couple of years from now, we will start looking at developing tests for buses. So I haven't even thought of it, but I think it might be difficult to do it in all the passenger seats. For passenger cars, yes, we start with the driver and we hope to expand to everyone in the car. And for a truck, yes. But yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah. There's another couple of questions coming in regards to, an alcohol intoxication detection. So there are a few. First is, what are your thoughts on adding breath or touch-based alcohol sensors? I don't know if we want to start there and then kind of go to the next question on blood alcohol concentration.
Yeah, we don't. We are not looking at exact alcohol level because we think that's a legal thing and should be dealt with the regulations. So we don't think we can do that through voluntary rating tests. So we are not expecting cameras, for example, to be that exact. And we will not expect the car to be stopped. It's more that the car should go into a more sensitive state where the safety systems go up to a higher level.
Yeah. And you might have already kind of touched on this, but regarding impaired driving, is there a blood alcohol concentration that should be targeted? So, for example, legal limit is 0.02 in Sweden, 0.08 in the UK, or is it?
Exactly. So we will not target an exact blood alcohol level. It's more that this driver is very likely to be drunk, and that's good enough. And then we will then just ask that the vehicle goes into a more safe state. For example, the auto brake would react earlier, or the lane keep system would maybe be turned back on if the driver has turned it off before. Those could be some countermeasures that we would award.
These are great questions. We have another one. Are all of these going to be regulated or have an ISO type rating and rigorous test pass? How would you make sure OEMs are complying with specific specs and system detection metrics? This might also be for Rickard.
I can explain that. Maybe I should have done that in the beginning. Another difference between Euro NCAP and regulation is that we go into a new area where there is no regulation and set new standards, or when there is already an existing regulation, we set the standards higher. So it could be either way. But when we have a new area which had not been regulated, the experience is that regulations will come afterwards. For example, like AEB that is coming now in GSR 10 years after Euro NCAP started to test.
All right.
But it's not a must. We have no force to force right. regulation. It's just that when the technology is out there and it seems to work, then regulation is likely to come. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. And I think we have time for one more question, which came in earlier. When talking about 2026 Euro NCAP update, when will the changes be reflected in the market since OEMs will need time to adapt?
Yeah, I did not talk about that either. We have the OEMs on board when we develop the new test standards. So, for example, the 2026 test standard will be published end of this year. So we always have the goal that it should be published 1 year before test starting. But also through the development, we have the OEMs and the suppliers involved. And it's very much through organizations like ACEA for the OEMs and CLEPA for the suppliers. So if you want more information, you can get it from them on the details.
All right. So that is actually all we have time for. I want to thank each of our panelists, Elsa and Rickard, for sharing your valuable insights, and to all of you for attending and for your great questions. Hopefully this gave you some clarity on navigating these critical safety standards. We did record this session and we'll be sending it out shortly so you can reference it back. If you'd like to learn more, be sure to follow SmartEye on social media, sign up for our newsletter for future events. We shared a few links also on our latest ebook on this topic for some further reading. I hope this session provided you some actual insights to help guide your path towards compliance, the GSR and Euro NCAP. Once again, thank you for joining us today, and have a great rest of your day wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much.